Get ready to listen, learn, and earn CE hours. This podcast features content from an accredited CE activity provided by Calibri Healthcare. Visit elitelearning.com/podcasts for accreditation and disclosure statements and instructions on how you may be able to earn CE credits.
Welcome back to our series on using your nursing voice, the nurse's role in policy and advocacy. I'm so thankful to have Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez back with us to continue this discussion. If you are listening to this episode, but you have not gotten to the first one, I highly recommend taking some time to listen in, as this episode is a continuation of the information Sarah shared about how and why nurses can use and should use their voice. Sarah, thank you for continuing this discussion with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We know that nurses have some expertise in some valuable areas, and not even to get political, but when it comes to our overall healthcare system and patient outcomes with payments and insurance, you know, public health, emergency management, we have so much expertise in these areas and we've seen so much in these areas. How do you think nurses with expertise in different areas like these can collaborate to address broader healthcare challenges?
So that's a great question. One of the areas that I know is really important to many nurses out there are social determinants of health. And right. We see these things all the time, right?
Yes,
so we
do.
Know we've got, and I say this consistently, like as a nurse, I know the medicine we give you, the procedures that we do, it is the tiniest fraction of how healthy you are. It is about where you live. Right. It's about the air you breathe and the water you drink and a good paying job and a roof over your head. And so we've seen that as clinicians. When people come into the emergency department with things that could have easily been taken care of earlier and now have become a crisis because they delayed care. They didn't have the money to be able to do it. They didn't have the coverage to be able to go into their primary care provider. Or there isn't just a culture of going into primary care. And so we can advocate more broadly with these healthcare stories on policies that help individuals in this way. And I'll give you some examples. Within Wisconsin, we are having a huge housing shortage, just huge. All across like different levels of housing, whether it's high-end housing all the way down to affordable housing or workforce housing. And we need to be able to put in simply more roofs all across the state of Wisconsin. And that is going to be enormously helpful for people who are able to take care of themselves, be able to take care of their healthcare. And so it's not just about specifically healthcare policy that nurses can advocate for, but it's a larger policy discussion about, you know, do we have food deserts? You know, do we have housing deserts? Child care. Oh my gosh. My kids are older now, 14 and 17. So I've got, you know, different things to worry about.
Right.
But when I talk to folks all across the state of Wisconsin, child care is just huge. They are so challenged to be able to find good quality child care that I've talked to folks who are thinking about getting pregnant and try to get their name on a list.
Right.
You know, for they're not even pregnant yet. They try to get their name on a list for childcare.
Yeah.
It's really a challenge. And we as nurses know that childcare is so critical to be able to take care of yourself, right? So if you need to get in for that mammogram, you need to be able to put your kids somewhere, you know, all of these things. And so these are the kind of policies that we can advocate for with stories, you know, from our general profession and from the experiences that we've had.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think are some distinct opportunities and challenges that nurses face when advocating for healthcare change at all levels, local, state, federal?
Yeah, I do think it's challenging to be able to make your voices heard, particularly, we talked about this in the last episode, individually. That is really, really hard. Do I recommend that you know who your representative is, who your senator is at the local, state, and federal level? Absolutely. And you should be reaching out to them and letting them know where you stand on particular policy or legislation. they need to hear from you and they need to know that you're a nurse when you write to them, because it creates credibility. When you're writing to them about a healthcare issue or a larger community issue and you're a nurse, that's important. However, it is really challenging to be able to get those messages across as an individual. And so coordinating with other agencies is going to be really key, whether that's the Nurses Association within your state, whether that's the Heart Association, the Lung Association, all of these other places that you can work together to be able to advocate for policy. It's really, really hard to get FaceTime with an elected official individually. Right. But you can do that if you coordinate with others. We have a Nurse Advocacy Day coming up at the Capitol in Wisconsin. That's an area where nurses can come in and talk to their legislators, where nurses can come in and talk to me, you know, and tell me what their priorities are. That's really important. Likely every state has something along those lines. And you can, you can do that. You can go ahead and put that, you know, request to go and be able to sign up and be able to talk to your legislators in a more coordinated way. But it is challenging. We are all so busy. So I live and breathe politics every day, right? So
Yes, I get that. Obviously.
However, the vast majority of people, we are trying to go to work, take care of our kids, make sure, you know, we're doing the right thing. It can be challenging to be able to pay attention to all of the things that are going on out there.
Right.
Which is why I highly recommend getting information from your professional organizations, because they can kind of create, you know, easily digestible information on things that might be important to you. And so that's a way to have it be less overwhelming. It feels really overwhelming to people. But if you can get an email once a month, whatever, that kind of talks about what's going on in terms of legislation, then that can be a little bit easier to be able to figure out where you want to put your energy and effort.
Right. I mean, I think it's amazing that you are at such a high level in Wisconsin that you're able to make change. But I think it's also important for listeners to understand, we're not saying you have to go run for office or
I think you should, but
but you don't have to, you know, if you are not
you don't have to do that.
You can still make a difference right there by, you know, signing up and watching what's going on in your state or watching what's going on at the federal level, where there's something that's really close to you, that's impactful to you, that you can then look for ways of, I have a question. So if I wrote you a letter, do you get those?
I do. Yeah, we do. So, so I get all the letters. Sometimes they'll get summarized for me. If there's like, let's say we get, maybe there's some really controversial legislation that's coming up. Sometimes that will have a lot of information in my inbox. And so some of my staff members will summarize and say, okay, we've got, 500 emails and 20 letters in support of this particular piece of legislation and X number, not in support of it. So I would get, when I was in the assembly, so my district, of course, was a little smaller as opposed to being statewide. When people would reach out to me, particularly on legislation, I call them back. If they left a number, I give them a call. Even if they were emailing me to tell me that they disagreed with my position, I would still call them back because I wanted them to know that A, it reached me, and B, that I heard what they were saying. Like, here's what I hear you're saying. And we use these things all the time, within nursing. We always use this type of communication. And so I would call them back and talk to them and say, okay, here's what I heard you said in your email or your letter. Did I get it right? And then maybe we'd have a little bit of a conversation. And then I'd ask them, is it okay if I tell you kind of where I'm coming from? Are you all right with me telling you that? Asking permission, to say, okay. And then we'd have that conversation. And we didn't necessarily agree by the end of it in terms of which way I was going to vote or which way I was going to be promoting. But they understood where I was coming from and I understood where they were coming from. So at the very minimum, I'm hearing it and I have an opportunity to change my mind if
right.
what they're coming up with is evidence-based and data-based and all of these things. So that's the kind of thing that I think is really important. When we talk to constituents, I certainly made sure that I did that as an assembly member. It's a little bit harder to call people with statewide office,
right.
all the people. But yes. because that district was a little smaller, I had an opportunity to be able to do that, as long as people were respectful and not
yeah.
aggressive or rude or, threatening. It was, I called people all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's just good mm-hmm. to hear that even if I don't have the capacity, the bandwidth, or the uh-huh. time right now to be able to advocate on a larger scale, that even just taking time for something that really hits me, that's I'm passionate about, that's coming up, that it gets to that level. It gets to whoever's in that seat or in that, federal level. So just, I don't know, it makes me feel good to hear you say, yeah, I do get those.
The one thing that I would suggest to people, though, is sometimes they will send the same letter to every single representative.
Right.
I do not recommend that. I recommend that you send it to the one who it's your district. So oftentimes there's some sister districts that we have where people aren't sure what district they're mm-hmm. in because the line is really close. And if I got a letter from somebody who ended up being in a different district, I would forward that letter along to the appropriate
right.
representative or senator. So that's what I would suggest, rather than sort of blanket it to everybody. Really focus mm-hmm. your attention on your representative and your senator, because that's going to make the most impact.
Right. So what are some actionable steps that our listeners can take to really be active in contributing with healthcare? I mean, across their community, because I know you have a lot of experience in public health. So starting at their community level and kind of going upwards, having a more of a federal view, what are some actionable steps that we can do as bedside nurses?
As bedside nurses, number one, know who your legislators are. Absolutely. You have to know who they are at the local, state, and federal level. Also know that there are a lot of positions, elected positions within your local community that oftentimes they don't have anybody running for them. I'm talking about town representatives, the representatives for your city, your city alder people, your school mm-hmm. board. Sometimes there are elected positions on the library board. These are really
right.
important positions at your local community level that doesn't really require the spotlight that you would get at a state level or a federal level. So you can participate in a way that makes sense. Bring your skills to the table. And mm-hmm. It has such a huge impact. I'll give you an example. One of the school boards that were very close to me had an infectious disease physician who was on their school board. And
yeah.
that was when COVID hit. And guess what?
Ooh.
You know, he was able to provide a perspective
yes.
and a skill set that was invaluable to that school
Absolutely.
District.
Absolutely.
Same thing with a nurse. Having a nurse on that school board would have been a very similar situation. They would have been
right.
able to provide a really good an impact in that way, which I think is really, really important. So
right.
consider some of those local positions that may have broader impact than you think it would. Within mm-hmm. the local communities, they decide where you can put housing, affordable housing, workforce housing. They vote on those types of things. So if you want to make sure that your community members have places to live so they can take care of their health, that's
mm-hmm.
that's something that you can have impact on. Another area that I think as a bedside nurse is really important is that many states, Wisconsin doesn't have this, but many states have citizen-led initiatives to be able
okay.
to put a referendum on the ballot. And so I've talked about this in the last episode about Medicaid expansion. Wisconsin has not,
mm-hmm.
is only one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid or Badger Care here in Wisconsin. Other states have done citizen-led initiatives to be able to put a referendum on the ballot, and they have been able to expand Medicaid in their states through
mm-hmm.
that initiative, through that referendum process. And so if there are certain organizations that are working on that, you can help with that as well. You can get those signatures. You can get that initiative going.
I have a question about that.
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
How do you know if your state has citizen-led initiative?
So you would have to Google it with the state that you're in to see what the, okay. I know. It's different places in every state, honestly. You got to Google it, say citizen-led initiatives for a referendum to be able to see the process, because certain states have it. There's a percentage that they have to get. Certain states have it where it has to come from every county. So it's very different in every state. You know, you can reach out to your elected representatives as well, and they can point you in the right direction of how you could do a citizen-led initiative within your state if that's available. Wisconsin, again, doesn't have it, but many, many states do have that ability to do that citizen-led initiative for a referendum.
Okay, you keep going. Sorry, I had a rabbit hole there.
No, it's good. So those are, I appreciate that. It is, and that is really interesting because all politics is local, right? Mm-hmm. And so how you elect your representatives, how you elect your senators is very local and specific.
Right.
And so you have to make sure that and I'm saying Google it, but that is the way to do it, because every state has a little bit of a different way to be able to do this. And so that's a way that you can figure out, what this looks like, how you can do it, and what the process is. So, for example, in Wisconsin, we will have a referendums on the ballot. They're not citizen led. They're legislatively led. And the way to do it in Wisconsin is they have to pass it through two different legislative cycles, pass it, and then it will go on the ballot and it can't be vetoed by the governor. Okay. So that's a way that the citizens can say what they want through a referendum that can't be vetoed by the governor. But again, every state's a little different. Some of it, it's just one cycle. Some of it is, there's no way to do that. It's only a citizen-led referendum. It's really interesting how every state is just a little different in how you can advocate. So making sure that you know how your state works is really important. And some of these advocacy organizations that I talked about, Heart Association, Lung Association, the Nurses Association, they know exactly how to do these things. And so reaching out to them as well, if you're like, oh, I couldn't find it, that is a way that you can also talk to your advocacy organizations to say, hey, can you explain how this works so that I have a better understanding of it? Particularly if you're a member, that's going to be a really important way to do that.
Absolutely. And that was my next question, is resources and organizations. And I know you've talked about some of the bigger ones that we know of, but are there some that maybe we're not as familiar with, but that we could look into?
So there is an organization for probably anything that you would like to be interested in. I will tell you that right now. If you're interested in gun violence prevention, there are a multitude of organizations that you can get involved in. There is an organization here in Wisconsin that is very, very local. It's Healthcare Providers for the Environment. And it's a local little chapter. And that's what they do. They bring together nurses, doctors, pharmacists, all these people to be able to advocate for clean water and clean air. If that's what you want to be interested in, if that's your focus area, fantastic. So those are the kind of things that you can look for across your state. Sometimes they're national organizations, they're larger, and they have some deeper pockets to be able to do more advocacy. But some of these local organizations they have a huge impact because they are fiercely local. This is fiercely Wisconsin, right? We are looking at the environment in Wisconsin as healthcare providers because we know that that impacts health. And so looking across your state to be able to find some of those smaller organizations that you may feel like you have a bigger voice and a bigger impact in is kind of interesting as well.
Absolutely. And, we've talked about organizations and resources. We've talked about community, federal and state levels of advocacy, but, also even just sitting on a board like you were talking about. I know there's a big push to get more women on boards. There's a push to get more nurses on boards. Websites where you can go and see what seats are open, apply for the seats, to get your voice heard, to get nurses' voice heard, to get healthcare in general, to bring that expertise that you have in healthcare. So even just sitting on a board, it seems like would be a great way to start advocating.
Yeah, that is a great way to start. And some of these boards, sometimes your elected officials will be looking for people to fill positions on these boards. And they're not going to know about you unless you raise your hand, right? If you are emailing your elected officials and you're putting your credentials on there, they're like, yeah, you know, I saw, you know, I remember a letter from, you know, Candace, and she, I know she's a nurse. I know she got this really great background in healthcare. I'm looking for somebody to be on this board. Let me reach out to her and see if she might be interested. And so making sure that you're making those connections is important as well. And if you see something, right now I'm running a healthcare workforce task force to try to increase healthcare providers across the state of Wisconsin. When you see something like that, you can say, I'm really interested in doing something along those lines. You know, what would this look like for you?
Absolutely. I personally never thought about reaching out saying, hey, I'm interested in helping out on a board to a legislator. That's a really good idea. Write that down. But so as we get close to our time ending, what are some of those key takeaways that you really want our listeners to understand in the power that nurses can bring to healthcare policy?
So number one, your voice matters and you bring such an important perspective to the conversation. The stories that you bring, the experiences that you have are just so critical to make sure we are putting policy and legislation in place that really bolsters our communities, bolsters our patients. So never doubt that what you bring to the table is enough, or that you don't have a really important perspective. You do. Number two, know your legislators. You got to know who they are. You got to make sure that you know who represents you and where they stand on certain policies that are important to you. So make sure that you're researching that today. Every state has a way to do that. Wisconsin, you can just put in your address and it shows you all your different legislators and with their contact information so that you can have it. Okay. Number two. Number three, get involved within a larger organization, such as your Nurses Association, such as the Heart Association, the Lung Association, whatever interests you, there is an organization that you can work with that's going to be having a policy arm that's important. And lastly, I would say, honestly, consider running for office. It is so important that we have nurses at the table when these decisions are being made. It is critical. And so if a nurse is not at that table, then your perspective is not being considered. And they're going to be making decisions about policy that could affect your career, could affect your patient's health. Mm-hmm. And it's so important for you to consider running for office because it is such a critical perspective and skill set that you bring to the table.
Sarah, what prepared you the most for this role that you're in right now? When you look back over your career, what prepared you the most?
I would say those critical conversations. That's what prepared me the most. As a nurse, we have difficult conversations all the time. And we're also used to talking to all sorts of different types of people from different backgrounds and trying to make sure that we're communicating in a way that our patients need. And that is a skill set that I think prepared me well to be able to be part of the political process. I think a lot about vaccine hesitancy and how we as nurses would talk to folks about individuals who may be a little hesitant to get their vaccines. And we know from the research, as we pepper them with facts, they tend to go back in the other direction. But if we respond with empathy, if we listen, if we hear what they're talking about, if we understand their perspective, then they're more likely to be receptive to a conversation about how this may be really important for your health. And so that's the same skill set that we would use with anyone when we're having a conversation. Right. Is if you respond with respect and empathy, you tend to get a little bit more ground than if you respond in a different way.
And that's one of the things that I've always loved about our profession is we get more time. Uh-huh. We get to know the patient. We get to know their family. We get to know their stories.
Yeah.
We get to connect with them. And that's one of the things that I've really loved about being a nurse. And it makes you want to advocate more.
Yeah.
Because you know who you're advocating for on a personal level. We have the faces with the situations that a lot of people don't get that. They don't see the faces. It's not personal. Not personable.
Uh-huh.
It's been, so it's a very great perspective that you also get to bring to the table.
Right.
I love that. So, Sarah, thank you for sitting down with me for this discussion. Learning from you is an absolute joy, and I am so excited for the amazing things that you are going to accomplish and the visibility that you bring to our profession.
Thank you for having me, and I will always say this, being a nurse was the best decision I ever made ever in my life. And so I think it's such a valuable job and such a valuable skill set. Sure.
Absolutely. And thank you for emphasizing the need and the abilities and the knowledge that nurses that we have, which is what makes us amazing advocates at all levels of government. So hopefully you have given people some courage that are maybe sitting there thinking, sure, if I want to do this.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it. Thank you.
Absolutely. To our listeners, I encourage you to explore many of the courses that we have available on elitelearning.com to help you grow in your careers and earn CEs.
This podcast featured content from an accredited CE activity provided by Calibri Healthcare. Visit elitelearning.com/podcasts for accreditation and disclosure statements and instructions on how you may be able to earn CE credits. Take your learning to the next level by subscribing to more podcasts on compelling healthcare topics.